count it a great privilege to be permitted by the grace of God to stand before you to minister this morning the Word of God. It's a strange feeling. I wanted to confess, I'm not an accomplished preacher of the Word of God. But I do minister a small assembly where I fellowship with God's people. In fact, I wrote to Brother Leslie when he said, will you be okay to minister? And it's mixed a feeling, but I took it from the Lord because I'm sure the oversight here would have prayed about calling upon a brother and asking me to minister. So every time I stand to minister, my heart and my legs tremble because we are before the living Word of God. And I'm so conscious, if I seek your help, to keep praying as I would ask the Holy Spirit of God to speak His Word to each one, to the need with which we have come. With that, I don't want to tarry you, but to request you to turn with me to the book of Esther, chapter 4. The book of Esther, chapter 4, please. My time is limited. I'm notorious in the sense of not keeping up the time. So, as I said, I'm in a small little assembly. Sometimes people do permit me a little longer, but I'm very conscious I wouldn't tarry you long. Chapter 4 and verse 14, please. A very, very well-known passage to the heart of all of us, I guess. Chapter 4 and verse 14, I use King James, so you are at liberty to use any convenient version. But I found it very convenient for me to use it, though I'm not an English-speaking man. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place, but thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come into the kingdom for such a time as this? The Lord, in His kindness to our hearts, may add blessing upon the reading of His own good word. As I said, it's one of the words that I keep going back again and again to check my own motives of Christian life. Very, very short, in brief, just want to break down this verse in four aspects. Because I'm so conscious, I don't know about this part of the word, but back home, slowly humanism, world psychology, world management practices, and slowly and steadily creeping among God's people. So when I look back on this verse, I just wanted to draw attention to four simple thoughts. One, as believers, there are certain responsibilities we must refuse. I will talk about it in brief. There's few responsibilities we must recognize. The third, the tragedies that we must avoid. And fourthly and finally, the opportunity that we must grasp. Just to give a background context, we all know the Lord sent His people to captivity. Just before this time, under the leadership of Ezra, a few of the people have traveled back to Palestine. But few remained.
in the line. That time, a cruel homicide monarch, who we read in chapter 1 as Ahasuerus, who with his whim has put away his wife Vashti. And in the background, we know that Esther is brought up and given to him in the place of Vashti, the queen. The chief minister, so-called, Haman, has plotted that the people of God there had to be completely destroyed. The godly Jew, Mordecai, is coming to Esther and speaking these words to him. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall there enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place, but thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? I will take it out of this verse little by little and try to move it in the application side of it. If Mordecai have to be a student, if I have to use your language here, a Harvard school, he would be absolutely thrown out as incompatible. Or rather, if you would have been taking a course on psychology, he would not even pass the first grade. The reason, here he comes to Esther the queen and telling her, if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. The responsibility we must refuse. If you and I have to counsel Mordecai, would have told him, you got to go. Cast yourself upon the hands of Esther. The outside scene is full of darkness. It's going to be complete devastation is planned. There is no other hope than you, my Queen Esther. You alone can stand before the king to plead for a peace. It might sound the wordings like that. If you actually close and look at that, they would not put the ultimate responsibility for the people of God upon her. Do you see that? He's telling that there shall enlargement come. Their help is going to come. He doesn't know where it is, in a sense. He's not able to see with his eyes. But he is there in the deep of his heart that he knew that the help is there. if I were to be there, in Esther's place, a man is coming and telling me, you don't need to do anything, in a sense. If you hold, there shall be enlargement and deliverance, rise to the Jew. He's giving her a way out. You don't need to do anything. It's not that Mordecai is naive. It's not that he's not understanding the impending things that's been done. Nor is foolish optimist to realize that Haman is going to change his mind. It's not that. While the true things are outside of the palace, it's so clear. We read there in verse 15, the last portion of chapter 3 of Esther. The entire city, Shushan was on, was perplexed. Everywhere commotion. Everywhere sadness. But he would not put the ultimate responsibility on Esther. Why I say this? As I said, today, in the evangelical circles, we hear people going and telling, oh, you are the man. You are the person. You are going to do great things for God. People are prompting the pride of human heart. You may sound, I may be sounding you a little awkward, but when we drop your eye, verse 25 of Acts of Apostles, chapter 17, that God in his scripture says is not worshipped with human hearts. There is a false notion going around. There we are thinking that we are helping God to do his work. That's what the responsibility I call upon the believers to refuse. In a while I'll come to you about the responsibility that God has given, that you and I have to recognize and to display. But here, Mordecai would never put that ultimate responsibility of standing and delivering the people on Esther's throne. In a way, it is so nice to see there. Esther means, in their local language, it's star. So as to say, you're the only one star who can help. No, no. He would tell her. He believes, though he's not able to see, but he believes deep in his heart, the people of God are safe. The purpose of God would continue. The church of God would flourish. The gospel of Christ would go on. God's work will not be hampered. He's not putting the responsibility, ultimate responsibility. Many times, I'm sure many of you are more than my age. I do have a son. There are so many responsibilities we have in our lives, but holding on to those responsibilities which God has not given to us, Satan subtly coming into the ears of the and the hearts of people of God to divert their attention. Here we see he would not put the responsibility what God has not laid upon. The people of God are always at loggerheads with the things of the world. The seed of the woman will always have the seed of the serpent. It still continues. It will continue in a sense till our Lord comes to take us to be with him. So we need to recognize those responsibility of the salvation of the people. May I say reverently, it's not in the hands of human. Quickly, there are certain responsibilities we must recognize, which we see there. Thou art come to the kingdom. Here he is trying to draw her attention to make her realize. Esther, are you able to see? Thou art now in the kingdom. What a wonderful truth to reflect upon. We know chapter 1 and 2 talks about. I just want to draw your attention to three comparisons about Esther, and probably we all know about how we are. First, she was an exile. We all know that. Number two, she was a Jewish. Third, all the more, she was an orphan. You are lying there, no father, no mother, you are an exile. You are one of the least privileged people in that land. And all the more, you are an orphan. Thou art come to the kingdom. My dear brothers and sisters, this is the responsibility that you and I must recognize. Not the ultimate responsibility for the salvation, but the responsibility of recognizing that we are come to the kingdom. If I can paraphrase, oh Esther, go into your own palace. Look at your dress. Look at the jewels. Look at all the privileges that you have today, because you are in the kingdom. Is that not what Apostle Paul would tell in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 to 29? Would he not tell us in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 down to 10? Oh, I was enemy to God. I was a sinner. I had nothing to do with the commonwealth of Israel. Oh dear God, I cannot even lift my head up before you. Thou art now come. My dear brothers and sisters, do you and I are able to see the responsibility or the change that has come to us because of God? This responsibility this morning I want you to recognize, not out of our own talents and gifts that one might possess, but as we sang, out of great indebtedness or the gratefulness. This responsibility is what Mordecai wants to lay upon Esther as a queen. Not her beauty. Not all that she can do. Yes, God has given. We will do. But that does not the ground on which Mordecai would expect her to see. For thou art come to the kingdom. My brothers and sisters, I would ask you to search your own hearts, your own lives. Look at the steps that you have come so far in your Christian life. Can you tell in your own heart before God, because of I am so and so, I am here. But I'm sure
if you're convicted by the Holy Spirit of God, you would never be able to say, I have come.
What is there so special in me that I should be one in God's house? This responsibility is that I wanted to draw your attention to recognize. I don't know, is there anyone who have not yet known the Lord Jesus Christ in your own lives? Could I ask you kindly, why are you this morning in this chapel? Why are you not like others on Sunday morning? Take a long rest. Take a good shower and enjoy your day. But now you are in this chapel. My dear brothers and sisters, I don't want you to go the same way you have come and gone listening to this Indian speaking to you. Do you see? Do you recognize that you are here? There is a purpose behind that. I know I see some young boys and girls. My heart goes and I see them because I have a son who is 16 years. Do you recognize that you have the great privilege of being born in a Christian home? Do you know that your father and mother every day kneels down and pray for you? There are so many children outside who do not have. Do you recognize that responsibility? Do I recognize this responsibility? Not caring for the entire world, which we will do in God wills. Do I recognize the change that God wrought in me because of what the Lord done on Calvary's cross? The Lord Jesus this morning would like to give you a new life. He has brought you this morning into this chapel hall. Not to listen to this Indian speaking, but God speaking to you from His Holy Spirit. There's a responsibility that you have. Sometimes wonder, I sincerely pray to God, any unconverted person who walks into God's assembly would never go out of this assembly. Yes, oh, good singing, great music. Has he gone from this house of God being saying in his heart, oh, I should have never come to this place? You may be sounding hard. Oh, I should have not heard this message. Oh, Christ, it says there is no neutral ground, which is the third point I just wanted to draw your attention to, the tragedy to be avoided. He says there, thou and thy fathers all shall be destroyed. Oh, those who have not known the Lord Jesus Christ today, oh my dear brothers and sisters, hey boys and girls, there is no middle ground for you. As it was for Esther. Do you recognize that? There is a mysterious middle ground people are talking about today. You go and talk to them, oh brother, no brother, I don't blaspheme the name of God. I have been born and brought up in a Christian home. I don't worship idol. There is no cross in my house. I go to Sunday school. I read my Bible. Oh my dear child, dear brother, did you recognize that your sin has caused him to die on the cross? There's the middle ground. The Lord Jesus says, we all know, he that is gathereth not with me shall be scattered. He that is not with me is against me. There's no two ways about in the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. No middle ground. Either you are this side or the other side. Is the Lord speaking to you, your heart today? Those who have not known the Lord Jesus Christ in your hearts and life. Am I speaking to you this morning? I plead with you this morning to come to Him. The Lord says, come unto me. Come unto me. All that you are heavy laden, I give you rest. All that the Father give comes unto me. He that cometh unto me, in no wise I'll put you off. What an invitation. Let not that tragedy be yours. I don't want you to walk out of this chapel without making that clear choice in your life. There is no middle ground. It's not there. If somebody telling in your ears, tell him shut up. It's not there. The scriptures are plain. No middle ground. Might speak to some of our Christian brothers and sisters. How many years of Christian life you and I have lived? Many times I tell back home that people of God are willing to give a lot of money for missionary work and support and go. Easiest thing to do today. What about the time? What about the lost opportunity to witness for the Lord Jesus Christ? The tragedy must be avoided. It's equivalent for Esther. So does it for you and for me. You and I cannot just flounder our lives. My dear brothers and sisters, if you would look at Esther's life, how God has moved her step by step by step by step. The unseen hand of God is preparing her for His use. Do you see in your life that? Do I see in my life? The problem today, the number game is going on. Number game, majority. People are forgetting God is interested in every individual. Not to brag about the talents and gifts that you might have, but the mercy that He has offered to you. The Lord has my feet made haste to hell, is a hymn writer that he writes. I love that. My feet made haste to hell. There would I have gone. Yes, the Lord has saved you. There are so many things that you can keep on adding to that catalog of tragedies that you and I have to avoid, my dear brothers and sisters. Are you living in disobedience to God? Many times we hear, oh, God is merciful. God is kind. God is loving. No, all are true. My brothers and sisters, God is also a righteous judge. God has given you all that you can be for Him. He has changed you. Are you witnessing the time that God has given? I'm sure, I don't know about here, back home, people do not have time to come for the meeting. I'm not equating coming to the meeting is equivalent to your spiritual life. On the contrary, vice versa, it's not true. It does. The commitment to God for the life that He had. I wanted to draw your attention upon how grateful are you and I to the cause of Christ upon the cross. Quickly and finally, opportunity to be grasped. that such a time as this. Now, I'm sure I'm not too old, I count myself very young. There are times in our lives, he said, oh, not this job, not this place. If you would ask Esther, he's telling Esther, such a time as this, are you gone mad? Everything is gloomy. I cannot walk out. Outside, everything is evil. Yes. But God has placed him. My dear brothers and sisters, you can keep bragging about, if I were like that brother, if I were like that sister, if I had that time, if I would have, you would be dreaming all through your life. Satan is doing that in your ears and mind. But Esther, such a time as this. For this purpose is what God has been preparing you, my dear Esther. Could you see that? Oh, if I were in the time of Reformation, oh, the Holy Spirit of God was convicting people of their sins, if I were there. My dear brothers and sisters, why this chapel is here? What beautiful building is there? Just to come, join hands, sing hallelujahs, and go back? My dear brothers and sisters, you are through this place, you echo out, the Lord was here. That's the opportunity. I can brag about, oh, sometimes I hear, oh, if I had a better wife, or I had a better children. No! What God has given, go home! Put your hands around your wives and children. Thank God for them. You could keep on asking A, B, C, so many. What God has given, do you recognize? The opportunity we should never miss. My dear brothers and sisters, Esther grasped that opportunity. In this world, I'm sure many of you are aged than mine, could have given hundreds of excuses why you and I cannot do. But I would only draw your attention to only one thing why you should do. Look at Calvary. Look at him. Who died for you. Who died for me. Who changed your life. Who changed my life. Who wants you not out of need. I want to again emphasize it very strongly. It is very in my heart. I am deeply pained for the things that goes out from the evangelical world of seeking, so-called, as though. We don't say it in that words, but we mean by our action that God needs you. Oh, my dear brothers and sisters, God does not need you in that term. God needs you because he showed you mercy. God showed you his kindness. God showed you his son has come to die for you. That's the gratitude with which you and I have to serve and grasp every opportunity. Now what has happened? Esther grasped it. You know, Esther could have said, you know, Mordecai, for the past 30 days I have not been invited to king. Yes, the scripture says earlier verses. Jesus, I started dropping out in favor with my king. Realistic excuse. Don't I have? You can catalog, you can keep on writing all the words, the excuses that you have. It could be genuine. I'm not saying that you are just cooking up the story. But what makes faith upon the purpose of God? Faith upon looking back, as David said, the goodness and mercy shall follow all the days of my life. The steps of the good man are ordered by the Lord. I look back and see, Lord, I was like that. You have brought me here. My life was like that.
You have changed me.
I was an angry man.
You changed me.
I was a rebellious woman.
You changed me.
I was a maverick. I was disobedient to my parents. God, you have changed me.
It's all yours, Lord. Could you and I say with Psalms and Psalms 116, what shall I do? What shall I do, Lord? Is it not that Apostle Paul said?
Lord, who art thou? What thou hast asked me to do?
Is that your word today when you go out of this chapel? Just wanted to ask you, take time. There are thousands of things you can say, Lord, I did not do that, I did not do that.
You could keep on all your life, wasted opportunities. You can keep on bragging about, leave that beside Calvary.
Open a new chapter in your life this morning. Tell and make commitment to God, saying, Lord, every opportunity that thou would bring me to my path, pray through thy Holy Spirit, enlighten me to be available for the Lord, for his ministry. Everyone in this room has a ministry to God. Don't you recognize that? Many years when I was a new Christian, I used to think sisters who prepare food at home, obviously here men would also help. Basically back home we have a culture where women generally occupied with kitchen. I used to think, oh, wasting time. Over a period of time I changed my opinion.
There's a ministry. Everyone has ministry if you're the called of God. If you have put your faith and trust upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ,
please do not expect I should be like you and you should be like somebody else. Every opportunity that comes, my dear brothers and sisters, we all believe the Lord will come. It could be just when you get out, the Lord will come. Let's not waste any opportunity that would come our way to witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. My dear brothers, please take it to your heart. Seek the help of God's Holy Spirit. But it should be out of the heart of deeply indebted to his cause. Not by force. Not by compulsion. Not by coercion. Not by any other motives other than pure kneeling down and knowing my feet made haste to help. There I would have gone. He does all things for every opportunity that comes. Finally, just wanted to leave those who are not you and your father's house shall perish. That's a warning from the word of God. I'm not ashamed to tell that. I'm not ashamed to tell them. Scriptures are pretty clear. There is no middle ground. God is inviting you and showing you by his son dying on the cross for your sin. He is yours today and he will be yours for eternity. And thou shalt be his and for eternity. What a transaction that can come today. So God may help us to rightly understand the responsibility the scriptures has laid upon us. There is a responsibility of bringing up our children. There is a responsibility for praying for our church. There's a responsibility to pray for sick. There's a responsibility to go and meet the fatherless and widows. You have to be people available for God. But do not take responsibility that which God has not given. May God help us.
Shall we close with a word of prayer? Precious God, we thank you once again for bringing us into your house and for granting us this opportunity once again to worship you, to think and meditate on the things of God. We thank you for bringing our brother Rajesh on his work into the U.S. again for a couple of weeks. And we thank you for all the grace and mercy you've bestowed upon him as well. And we thank you, Lord, for your precious word that once again has come to us in all its power. We realize, O God, that we are indeed deficient, that we are often guilty of Lord, not carrying out our own responsibilities. And also, we realize again today that we should not be those who usurp or take over your ultimate responsibility. We thank you for you're a great God with a wonderful plan for this entire world, the universe. Many things that we find discouraging and creating despondency amongst us because of the world outside. Lord, we know it's all part of your plan towards the grand culmination of your Son returning to redeem his people. Therefore, thank you this morning once again for encouraging us, for reminding us that as Peter's revolt did grasp the opportunity. We pray, Lord, even this week as we go out into our different places that you have set us, we pray, God, that you will give us that privilege to be able to grab the opportunities that you lay in front of us. We thank you that there are so many needs, there are so many things that we can, Lord, if we have our priorities right, that we can address in your, for your kingdom. And we do pray, God, that you give each brother and sister here that privilege. We pray for any who may be in our midst, who have not taken that most important decision to accept the Lord Jesus Christ into their lives. We pray for any such here that they may be given this privilege not to miss that opportunity and to avoid the tragedy of perishing without the Lord Jesus Christ. We therefore pray for each one present here, and as our brother reminded, Lord, that we could go out from here with blessing, with the spirit of obedience, that we submit ourselves to your will for us in this day and for the rest of this week. We pray that your grace and peace be with us. We also ask for Brother Rajesh as he travels today afternoon, returning to India. We pray that you will be with him in his travels, pray especially for his family, his wife and son, and his mother-in-law. We commit them all into your hands and ask, Lord, for your continued blessing on that little assembly as well that meets near his home. We commit all these needs in different parts. And thank you, Lord, that you are working your wonderful ways through your children in different parts of this country and around the world. We praise your great name once again. And ask this prayer in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.